Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on the line with Steve Morse from the Dixie Dregs on 91.7 FM, WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh. Hi, Steve. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. And it's great to be here talking about music.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
Well, you know, it's been many years since we've done an interview. I think you were out with Deep Purple, maybe Deep Purple Dio or Scorpions Tour. I can't remember. It was so long ago. So it's great to catch up with you again.
And still, I'm actually still touring with Deep Purple. In fact, 2 days, or actually a day after I get back, I'm going to tour with Deep Purple.
Yeah. We saw you over the summer on the Alice Cooper tour, which was great.
Yeah, he always has a great band. They're just a phenomenal show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so, you've been doing other Dixie Dreg shows over the years. I know I've seen you guys out before. Is this the first time that you've had, like, a full reunion of the band? Because I'm a little bit too young to remember the original history.
You would have to be your grandfather's age, Greg's history, because we started, actually, Andy and I started doing it, the first Drake show in 1973.
Okay.
My kids, I have to remind my kids, it's 1973, not 1873. They get confused.
Well, I was born in 76, so I definitely don't have any recollection of 73.
No. Yeah, that was exploding time for music. But it's the first time we've done a full reunion of all the original members since 81.
Okay.
That's 1981.
Yeah.
Steve Davidovsky played with us, you know, early on, and through our first all the tours following Threefold album, and then he left right before we recorded with us. So this goes back, yeah, literally 41 years since we played with him.
And I'm sure you guys are all working on other projects. I know, obviously, like you said, you're out with Deep Purple, and, you know, Rod plays with Winger still. We just saw him a few weeks ago. So how challenging was it to get the whole band back together to do this?
Well, that's always the hard part, is getting the schedules.
Yeah.
But once we did, well, actually, before we even scheduled anything, we got together last year just to see, you know, no promises, no pressure, just let's just play some of the songs from Freefall and see how that goes. And it went really well. Everybody was into it. Everybody got along. In fact, everybody seemed like the exact same people. I've never been to a high school reunion of my own.
Uh-huh.
And this is my first chance. This whole tour is like a 40-year reunion. So, yeah, I'm seeing people we haven't seen in that long.
Sometimes. Right. And,
but the guys themselves, especially as a group, the way we work together is exactly the same. It's uncanny.
I guess people never really change, so you kind of, you know, go back to where you were then. And
I've heard that.
You know.
And I guess, you know, when you are working around people all the time or on a regular basis, you don't see any gradual bits of change. But when you haven't worked with somebody that many years, and suddenly they seem pretty much the same, that was surprising to me, because I would have thought it would be the opposite. It'd be like, you know, all these little small incremental changes would have, you know, affected their personality, but no.
So
it's fun for me.
That's very cool. You know, I wanted to ask you something, and I don't want to get too technical with the discussion about guitars, but, you know, you've always had a very unique and innovative guitar sound. So, you know, as an innovator, I'd love to get your advice for kids who are just starting to play. I have two daughters that are just starting to learn on an electric guitar. They've played a preem with a folk group, and they're trying out different instruments to see what the right fit is going to be for them. So I'd be curious to get your advice, you know, as somebody approaches the instrument new, with the history that you have, what your thoughts would be on a new musician.
Well, I guess first of all, I would say tune the guitar down or put light strings on it so that it doesn't hurt the fingers.
Right.
The more time they spend experimenting or trying simple lessons and having success, the better chance. You know, it's that reward thing. Yeah, kids are used to going to a video app or game or whatever and having, you know, instantly having bombardment of their senses. So with guitar, it's a much slower process. So you want it to have success to begin with. So I would say a digital tuner, you know, one that you can clamp on the headstock of the guitar is good. Get one that will time out, you know, if you forget to turn it off.
There you go.
About to miss. And get the guitar in tune every time. That would really help. And then I like the idea of tuning down a half step or so, at least, to make the strings easier to push down.
Sure.
And or using thinner strings. And if your child is like Bam Bam from the Flintstones, probably before your time, but
no, it's not.
Okay. If it's a, you know, rough, real active child, I would say, you know, start with an old instrument or a toy instrument and just, you know, let them get their aggression out on it. Drums are great for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want drums in the house, but...
Right, yeah, not for the parents, but for the kids.
Yeah,
They make some great electric drum sets, too, by the way.
Okay.
Where you can adjust the volume, and they sound really good. Anyway, back to guitar.
Sure.
Electric guitars are a little bit easier to play and a little bit more fun, I think. But it depends. And if your child likes the pure sound, then go for an acoustic.
Yeah.
But a guitar that's easy to play can be got for $200 or less. Yeah, and just a little tiny bit of care setting it up for the child. And like I said, don't forget that tuner and some kind of little amp. And you can see little amp and guitar combos for in the $200 range.
Yeah.
All the time. And they're, you know, they're not great instruments or great amps, but they will work to see if your kid is going to go to the next level.
Right.
The next thing is find some 3-chord songs, and it's really challenging to do that on the radio because there's 1-chord songs and 2-chord songs. No, I'm joking. No, there's a multitude of songs that can be covered with just a few chords.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
You transpose those to the key of the chords that your kid has learned, and suddenly they can be playing, you know, kind of a rough accompaniment to those songs. And if you can teach them to sing along, that's even better. Now they've got a way to entertain themselves totally.
Right. So
almost anybody can teach him an E minor chord and maybe an A minor seventh is only 2 fingers also.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a bunch of songs you can learn with those, or maybe a G major. And, you know, and it doesn't take more than a couple weeks to get to the point where you're playing 4 chords. And if you get C, G, A minor, F, or something like that, you can play the chorus to every song on the radio for the last 15 years.
Yeah, I think when I first started playing, I probably learned 3 chords, you know, back in high school, and I could play, you know, any Poison song or, you know, pretty much get my way through it. So, well, I appreciate the advice. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people have kids that are trying to find their way to an instrument, and was curious to get your take on that.
It's much more satisfying for everybody, and especially for the kid, to do it themselves. And you know, and you'll hear coaches talk about sports, how that, you know, it's really good for kids to see the results of hard work. And at a kid age, that hard work usually only happens under the whip of the coach. Whereas with music, you want the kid to learn to be their own coach, you know, while they're sitting in the bedroom practicing.
Right.
And that's a huge life skill that transfers to everything. So if you can find something that they'd like to do that requires a little bit of work, then that gives them some, you know, reward, that will stay with them forever, and they'll be able to think in the future, you know, this looks like a difficult task, but, you know, I'm sure if I practice and keep at it and chip away at it, I'll get it.
I wanted to ask you, with the band with the band back together, you know, what's next for the Dixie Dregs? Do you guys have any plans to work on any new material, or are you just kind of taking the tour for what it is right now and seeing where things go?
Yeah, the tour is like a bucket list thing for me, and I think some of the other guys feel that way. Something that I always wanted to do, and for some reason at my age, I see it, you know, I see closure as being more important than ever. And you know, and spending time telling my friends the good things, the great things they're doing. And as a young man, when I would bring music in, I was like, no, it's F sharp, not an F, and just like firing out, you know, corrections at coaching and try, no, let's try this. No, that doesn't sound good. I know it earlier that way. Let's change it. And just hardcore business nonstop for the whole rehearsal. And now I'm finding myself more just, you know, congratulating the people on their successes and of the show and just being glad for them being here and doing it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's sort of a closure thing for me and a bucket list. That's a major bucket list item. As far as new music, I don't know. I don't think the world cares, and I don't, you know, the second you release it, it's out in every possible digital form for free. There's no way to, you know, recover the costs and everything. So with everybody having jobs in other ways, I don't know when we could get the time. And I don't want to assemble something by email.
Yeah.
So it might be that this is it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, we certainly, you know, look forward to seeing you guys next Thursday at the Carnegie Library in Homestead. And if it is it, we'll be happy to be there and experience it, you know, in person. Steve, thank you so much for making time to join us here on 91.7 FM, WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh. It's been a pleasure catching up with you, and we'll see you at the show next week.
And on the subject of brighter subjects.
Sure.
The show is a joy and it's a great reminiscing opportunity for any Dregs fan, and we will be there having a great time, and would love to see you. And it's definitely a once in a lifetime opportunity, because the conditions that created this band do not exist anymore.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Steve. Look forward to the show. And thanks again for joining us here on WNJR Washington Pittsburgh.
Thanks for doing this, and thanks for your positive, warm vibe here.